The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
It is hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Big thanks to Rusty Manziel, 24/7 Sports, coming on and talking recruiting there. I appreciate him making time in hour one. George on a little bit of a roll, and I actually meant to talk more about that because Rusty covers everything in recruiting, particularly the Southeast, particularly the SEC, especially Georgia. And I'm not talking the state. I mean the program specifically. And they've been on a little bit of a roll. We got so many other things going on. We taught Gunnar Stockton, and they got a commitment over the weekend, number 38 player in next year's class. Didn't even get a chance to get to it. So a lot with Rusty Manziel just means we have to have him back on. Again, coming up in about 10 minutes, John Michaels, he is going to be on from WCNN, 680 The Fan in Atlanta, also SB Nation, et cetera. Does a lot of stuff, a lot of different media, radio, TV, et cetera. Specifically covering Miami Hurricanes, and we will talk the U with John Michaels coming up in about 10. Bottom of the hour, go way up north in the Sunshine State to Tallahassee. Jeff Cameron from the Jeff Cameron Show on ESPN Tallahassee. That's the bottom of this hour. Right now, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
I always try to leave with good news, and I'm not going to necessarily say this bad news. This man did not get cheated. Headline: Howard Schnellenberger dies at 87. All right, Howard Schnellenberger did not get cheated. That man lived a full life. He was part of that Miami Dolphins coaching staff that went undefeated in 72, and he saved the Miami Hurricanes program, I believe. Well, the success that the program started having once he took over in 1979, I mean, it's documented. Most people know by now. If you haven't seen the 30 for 30 on the U, invest a few minutes. It's good. But Miami, it wasn't just they were considering dropping the program. There wasn't a lot of opposition to it. And Schnellenberger went to the U in 79, and then it's Jim Kelly, and it's Bernie Kosar, and it's a national championship, and it's a Heisman Trophy, and it's Vinny Testaverde, and it's a couple more daddies with other head coaches, with Jimmy Johnson and Dennis Erickson. I don't know that the program would exist. It would be like when I talk now about the University of Tampa and how the Spartans used to have a good football program. Well, what do you mean good at their level? I think the University of Tampa had the first overall, John Matuszak. He might have been the first overall draft pick. So they were good. They won games. They put players in the league. My understanding is they cheated all. But, I mean, it was the 60s and 70s. Who didn't cheat in college football? But they don't have program. Canceled it. Went away. That could be Miami. We could be on the air right now, me saying, hey, folks, they used to have football, and it was kind of good. They had George Myra, and I could tell you some stars they had at Miami. And you go, really? They played football down in, I was like, yes, they played football. Well, Howard Schnellenberger saved that. And I don't think I'm assigning too much credit there. 87 years old, and, I mean, the names you associate him with are Don Shula, Bear Bryant. He was the head coach at Louisville, had success. He was the head coach at FAU, I believe, started the program. In fact, he did. He, from a trailer in a parking lot, started the FAU program. I love being able to vote for the College Football Hall of Fame. I love having it in my city now. It's tremendous. There are some issues that maybe the Hall should reconsider. One of them is that a guy like Howard Schnellenberger, he's not even eligible for me to vote. You have, as a head coach, there are some requirements. You have to be a head coach a minimum of 10 years. So a guy like Irk Russell, he's not eligible. He was only a head coach 9. Am I going to run out of music? Okay. Schnellenberger, as a head coach, you have to win a minimum of 60% of your games. Folks, he literally started a program from nothing at FAU. He resurrected a program that no one was stepping in the way to stop from being shuttered at Miami. No kidding, he didn't win 60% of his games. He's not a Hall of Fame coach. You're going to penalize him because what he did to provide football at multiple... Oh, gosh, whatever. He's 87, and he passed, and that's just too bad. But like I said, he didn't get cheated. He lived a very full and enjoyable life. Go read about Schnellenberger. He had a good time. Final headline, Trevor Lawrence won't attend NFL draft in Cleveland. I don't know if that's a big deal, but it is to some. He's going to be the first overall pick. That's already determined. That's done. And he said he's going to watch it with friends and some family members and just a small group at Clemson, which is fine for him. I remember the most recent time, at least that I recall, Joe Thomas, All-American tackle out of Wisconsin, he said, I'm going fishing with my dad. It's what we do on Saturdays. And so he went fishing with his dad when he was the third overall. I dare say the greatest draft – in fact, it is. Greatest draft pick the resurgent Cleveland Browns have ever made. He started and played every snap until he got hurt and didn't play anymore. Just unbelievable. So consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to break, come back, continue next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. We're going to talk college football kind of, sort of, to start this next, with our next guest, because the Miami Hurricanes, they got Pro Day going on, and it may be like literally as we speak. So I want to welcome on now a good friend of the program. He's co-hosted before, and he'll do it again, from WCNN in Atlanta and all manner of media, whether it's digital, radio, et cetera. It is John Michaels. John, how are you, man?
Doing well. How you doing, Chuck?
Pretty good. Am I correct? The Hurricanes got their pro day today. Is that right?
That is correct. And almost like old days, a scout from every single NFL team is down there because they actually have a couple of guys that look like they could go in the first round and really wreak some havoc in the NFL.
Yeah, I think they actually could have more than one first-round pick this year. And I want to start with the guy who didn't play at all because, John, just kind of free-flow with this if you want to. The best pass rusher coming out of college every year is always going to be a top three or top five pick because he's some sort of monster coming off the edge. Well, this year, he's not a top three or top five pick. He's just the best pass rusher. It might be, I don't know, Micah Parsons, for instance. I say the best pass rusher didn't play last year is Greg Rousseau. He's a top three, top five talent, I think, but he didn't play. So where's he going to go? How's he going to show? What's his game?
Well, he measured out, and I just was looking at the measurables, 6'6.5", 265 pounds. He's got 11.5-inch hands, for those that are interested in you. So that's a guy that's going to have to wear some really, really big gloves. Had he played last year and would have put up 12 sacks, 10 sacks, 13 sacks, whatever it may be.
15 the year before.
Right. You're probably talking about Gregory Rousseau going in the top seven. The problem is he had 1 year where he only started about 8 games at Miami. They didn't start him for whatever reason for the first 4. And he put up those 15.5 sacks, but a lot of them were in bunches. It was 4 against Florida State. I think it was 3 against Pittsburgh. Had he played this year and showed more consistency, the measurables are there. But I'm going to tell you, somebody's going to get him probably mid-first round, 14 through 18, and you're going to get an absolute star, a kid that outworked his star ratings, a kid that outworked his original position projection. This is a kid that coming out of high school was playing safety at high school and then all of a sudden blossomed into a great defensive end. You're going to get a star. It's just a matter of now who trusts that that 1 year of tape is enough to draft him.
I think Jalen Phillips is a first-round pick, and I'm pretty certain about that. Give me your opinion, then also Roche from the other side.
Love Jalen Phillips. This is a kid that, you know, I think his story is pretty well chronicled by now. Went to UCLA as the number one recruit in the country. Didn't really fit. Had a bunch of injuries. He had actually retired from football. He was working some odd job out in California. And then the portal comes along and Miami comes a call and we needed a defensive end and he went there. He arrives at Miami at about 220 pounds on a 6'5" frame. He looks like a big tight end. They end up bulking him up about 50 pounds of muscle. And last year, he was just a freak. He's a guy that's really an effort player, and I don't say that disparagingly. I say that he gets every ounce of his athletic talent out of his body, and he's a guy that's never going to stop on a play. Does he have the same twitch that Rousseau does? Probably not. But you're going to get a guy that maybe projects as a Ryan Kerrigan type, and Ryan Kerrigan in the NFL was getting you 10 sacks a year. So he's absolutely a first-rounder.
All right, continuing with John Michaels, let's talk about the players who are still in Coral Gables, including a really good tight end who's an NFL draft prospect. No, Chuck, Brevin Jordan left. I'm talking about the one who stayed, Will Mallory. Tell me what his blue sky is. What's the ceiling for him in 21?
I think the ceiling for him is he can put up the numbers that Brevin had pre-injury. You know, Will's going to be the number one tight end. They've got a freshman by the name of Elijah Arroyo, who they really like coming out of high school. But again, he's going to be a true freshman who's just there for spring practice. Mallory has all the tools. 6'5", 260, can run, fairly decent inline blocking. And in Rhett Lashley's offense, you got to be able to block a little bit at tight end. For him, it's been all about consistency. As a freshman, dropped a multitude of passes, one against Florida that would have been a touchdown, another one that would have sealed the game against North Carolina the following week. But last year, he really started to put it together because Brevin had missed about half the year. Mallory walks in as a junior that a year from now we could be talking about at Miami Pro Day. Is the next in line of the Jeremy Shockey, the Bubba Franks, the Greg Olsons, the guys like that.
And is his recovery from the shoulder, it's all on, he's just not going to practice in spring, but there's no issues you've heard of?
No, nothing I've heard of. It looks like he'll be back ready to roll when they get to fall camp. And obviously that's huge. When you open against Alabama, you need every single body that's going to be down there on campus.
Continuing with John Michaels again, talking Miami Hurricanes. I had open the show talking a little bit actually during the news updates about De'Eriq King and him coming back and his injury. That it's interesting, he is such a great player that unless he's back and healthy, that's really Miami's season. And he is such a good player that we don't really pay attention to his backups. It actually allows us a chance to look at the other parts of the Miami team during spring ball. But we do need to talk about the backups, particularly after Saturday's scrimmage, when apparently Tyler Van Dyke and Jake Garcia, who is a high school senior right now, they lit it up for whatever you care about a spring scrimmage.
Yeah, Van Dyke, I think, goes 11 of 14. Jake Garcia was like 14 of 18, something like that. Yeah. So very capable backups. Van Dyke's a guy that was on campus a year ago. He redshirted, had no reason to run in there and play behind Nikosi Perry and, you know, and obviously De'Eriq King. He fits all the sizes, the 6'4", the 220 pounds, a rocket arm. Doesn't have near the mobility that Derek King does. But we've seen in Rhett Lashley's system when he was at SMU with Shane Buechele, he had a guy that was more a stationary quarterback that could get back there and just spin it. I think you'll see that out of Van Dyke. Garcia, you know, to quote our old buddy Bo Bach, he was the babe, the boy, coming out of high school. He was well chronicled his travels from California to Valdosta to Grayson High School to winning a state championship here in Georgia. He's probably going to be a redshirt candidate if everything points to Derek King coming back. But it looks like for once, and they just secured a commitment over the weekend, a kid by the name of Ja'Kari Brown out of Valdosta, another huge prospect, four-star. I think he's the number 5 dual-threat quarterback. It's starting to look like old Miami, stacking four-star after four-star at the most important position.
And any sort of update with Derek King's knee that he injured in the Cheez-Its Bowl?
They put a video together, Kane's football had, I want to say about a week ago. Apparently, he's shattering all the prognostication that they're putting. You know, they put 3 weeks.
I heard Manny saying that, yeah.
Yeah, 8 weeks you should be doing this. He's killing all of it. The video package was pretty sweet where, you know, he shows the injury and he basically said, I got to come back. And, you know, knowing the kid, what he went through a year ago losing his father, dealing with COVID issues, everything else, he's going to work his butt off to come back and be the starting quarterback. Every projection is said he'll be back for the start of fall camp in August. That'll be a little over 8 months removed from an ACL injury. 9 months will be the start of the season. If he's ready to go, Miami's probably going to be one of those top 15 teams to get things going next year.
Last thing for you. Defense, not the personnel, but the coaches. Is it 4 new coaches on that side of the ball? Plus Manny, by announcement at least, by declaration, he'll be running the thing, calling the plays. Just give us a quick overview of the new coaches on that side of the ball.
Love Jeff Simpson. He was there a couple of years ago. Yeah. So these are really his recruits that have now matured into junior and senior. He'll be coaching the defensive line. They're going to be aggressive up front, as Miami has been since Manny Diaz has been there. DeMarcus Van Dyke gets elevated from, like, grad assistant to defensive backs coach. So he's another kid that's going to come in, you know, get his first chance to really do something. But he's learning under Tavares Robertson, who everybody loves. T-Rob back there in the secondary has had great success. South Carolina, whether it was, I think it was Auburn as well. He's coached a little bit everywhere. They had problems in the secondary. Mike Rump, for his, you know, for being an alum, being a first-round pick, there were too many times our guys just seemed out of position and lost, and you can't have so many recruiting misses. They missed on Tyson Campbell. They missed on Patrick Surtain. These were kids from American Heritage where Rump had been the head coach, so that was the big indictment on him. They've got studs back there, getting Tyreek Stevenson from Georgia to come in and start at secondary. Watch this 6'5 freak, true freshman, James Williams, who everybody wanted. He might play safety. He may play linebacker. I think the defense, if nothing else, will be a heck of a lot more aggressive than it was under Blake Baker. They had dropped back to playing about 60% zone under Baker. With Manny Diaz, that number was about 30%. And you know on third down, Manny was bringing the kitchen sink. He was going to get pressure one way or the other.
Yeah, that's kind of his signature, no doubt about it. John, it's always great, brother. Thank you for coming on, man.
Anytime, Chuck. Good to talk to you.
All right, I always appreciate John talking to you with us. Yeah, third and whatever it is, and it's always been kind of my issue on third down because, you know, he said, and you're third down, you know, Manny's bringing the pressure. I was like, yeah, that's kind of his resume. Here's the contradiction of third down, because most of us, and I'm saying my hands raised, because for, I don't know, a couple of decades I thought this, that, oh, well, it's third down, they have to pass. Well, if you know they're going to pass, send the house. Maybe. First of all, it depends on who the quarterback is. Game situation, score, where they are on the field. I mean, I don't know. Every third and eight is not great. Now, third and eight is different than third and three. The context of third and eight compared to third, I don't even care about the context at that point. I know that's better. But game situation, score, you know, whatever. Every third and eight is not created equal. And third and eight in general, do you, again, in general, across the spectrum of what all third and eights could be, do you know what the offense needs just in a very – they need a big play. If you blitz, you make a big play more possible. Now, you make a bigger play more possible as well, but I'm after just getting the ball. And so the contradiction is when we see a third – time to blitz, bring the heat. Well, oh, yeah, okay, because we know they're going to pass. And you're also actually – an experienced quarterback, you're actually doing him a favor. You're giving him more of an opportunity to make the big 8 or 9 or 10 yard play that he needs. So it's always important. What's the context of this game situation? What is the score? Is it smart to dial up pressure or maybe just have the guy try to beat us?
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And Florida State, if I'm doing some quick mental accounting here, I believe they have had the second of their three scrimmages. And the session that we call the spring game, which is coming up in just a couple of Saturdays for FSU, April 10th, the 15th session, and for most cases, that's going to be counted as a scrimmage. We just call it the spring game because they let people in. And it's important because we were talking earlier with Rusty Manziel, for instance, about having open practices. And we're talking about the Florida State Seminoles. And they've got a kid from Georgia committed there that Rusty Manziel, I was like, tell me what this kid's game's like. He said, Champ Bailey. I was like, all right, good enough for me. And he's talked about it. Part of it is an open practice, which means anybody can show up, which means you've got a bunch of elite recruits that have been looking around going, I'm jonesing to get on a campus. Oh, whose practice is open? So it's a big deal. And so spring game, again, I think it's April 10th, which is two Saturdays down the road. Want to welcome on right now, man. He'll be able to tell us for sure from the Jeff Cameron Show, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee. It is the host, Jeff Cameron. Jeff, how are you, brother?
I'm great, Chuck. Good to be with you. Yeah, April the 10th, Florida State spring game, and a lot of people looking forward to that. They need the time between this time and that time, though, because Saturday was rough, Chuck.
Yeah, it's been a tale of two scrimmages. The first scrimmage, the offense was kind of ahead, and then this past Saturday, it was not the case at all. The defense got the best of them, didn't they?
Without question, it was really ugly. Now, I will say right off the bat, the caveat to some of that is that Florida State's offense was in a bit of a hole on the offensive line. They had to play a freshman at center who is kind of being groomed to be a backup, and he had some trouble snapping the ball. So some plays were doomed for the quarterbacks competing right from the get-go. They also were a little bit snake-bit on at tight end. So they weren't fully healthy on the offensive front, and I think it showed. But they still have a lot of work to do. It's an interesting spring so far because it has been up and down.
Well, let's talk about, again, the difference in the two scrimmages. The first one, when the offense was apparently ahead of the defense. What stood out then? Because obviously all the attention on offense is going to be going to the guy wearing the non-contact jersey and Mackenzie Milton, and all we want to see is how he takes full contact. What was the story coming out of this? What was the success coming out of that first spring scrimmage?
Well, I thought the young receivers played really, really well, and that got everybody excited. I'm talking about not just in terms of the production, but if you look at their body type, whether you're looking at Joshua Burrell or Brian Robinson, those are freshmen, redshirt freshmen. You're looking at Blake McClain, who's a freshman, even Kentron Portier, who's a redshirt freshman. These are all guys that are either new to the program or got very little time or redshirted, and so you didn't know what kind of step forward they would take, and they kind of really owned the day. They also got something in that first scrimmage out of Deontay Sheffield at running back. It was maybe kind of surprising to some people, and I think that's what got people pumped. But on the whole, this scrimmage was the antithesis of that scrimmage because I don't think – Mackenzie Milton looked very good. Jordan Travis had a good opening drive, didn't do anything after that. The real surprise here, Chuck, is the emergence of Tate Rodemaker, who obviously was here a year ago, even got a start last year, having to start as a true freshman in a game, and it was disastrous early on. But he throws the best ball of the bunch so far, and he seems to be emerging, especially with the down-the-field throws. He's the most accurate of the bunch so far. It'll be interesting to see if he gets reps with the first team. He's been the second team guy, so it's the twos versus the twos. I'd like to see him get some reps with the ones to see if he's entered his name into this battle legitimately.
Does Coach Norvell want to do the same thing with all of the quarterbacks, the three that he has access to this spring?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it would be preposterous to have Jordan Travis running the same offense that you have Tate Rodemaker running, for example. I don't think so. And I know I go back and look at the Memphis tape. When he got hired, I went back and looked at his offenses at Memphis because I wanted to get a feel for what to tell our listeners. And he really was adaptable and malleable to whatever kind of quarterback he had, whatever skill set he had on offense. He would highlight whatever their strength was. So I think he's malleable in that way.
Let's talk about Keyshawn Helton, because I'll admit, I can't even remember when the injury happened, but I remember not having a full appreciation for a few months. In fact, it was after the season when he kind of talked about everything that had happened. I was like, oh. But word around the campfire is that he may be looking like Keyshawn Helton pre-injury, yes?
Yeah, scored on Saturday, and it was a nice 19-yard touchdown reception, and he showed the burst, more importantly, after the catch, made two people miss and ran away. So I think you're starting to see some semblance of the old Keyshawn Helton. They need it. They've got to have a couple of guys take the reins there and really provide something that wasn't there a year ago. And it's hard to find who those people are right now on this roster, Chuck. I mean, they're probably going to try to lean on Ontario Wilson, Pokey Wilson. Mm-hmm. Yes, they need a Keyshawn Helton to step up. And then it's going to have to be a young guy. I mean, they just don't have an explosiveness. When we're talking about, and I tell people it's all relative, if you're talking about a program trying to climb back to where they once were, fine. They got to raise the floor a little bit, try to find a way to get to 6-7 wins. If we're talking about comparing the explosiveness from Florida State teams of yesteryear, they're not even close. They don't have that guy on this roster right now.
Wrapping up again, Jeff Cameron from the Jeff Cameron Show, ESPN Tallahassee. Knowles did not have a huge amount of freshmen early enrollees. Right. You got to have a scholarship, and they had transfers. So, you know, everybody knows the story. So they had a real – it was like five or six. I was kind of surprised because I got to be honest. A three-star freshman corner, Kevin Knowles, he was not the guy that I was expecting to hear commentary about after a scrimmage or a few practices or whatever, because honestly, he looks like a young skinny kid out there at corner about to get, you know, beat up in Power 5 football. And apparently he's holding his own and even inside a little bit at slot.
Yeah, you know, they've got some intriguing talent there in the secondary. I actually thought that kind of stood out in this last scrimmage, since we were talking about that scrimmage. And you remember, Chuck, the last time you and I talked, we mentioned a couple different guys. One of those guys was Travis Jay, who's a redshirt freshman, and he had a good scrimmage as well. He's a guy that I found out at this scrimmage on Saturday, talking to somebody, just kind of off the record. He was saying, look, you do realize he was hurt all of last year. They needed him to play. They didn't have enough bodies. And I could tell, because he looked like a completely different player. The explosiveness was back. So Knowles has played well. Brendan Gant has played well. I actually think Jarvis Brownlee is going to be good for them. He's a redshirt freshman, didn't really participate in this scrimmage. But they've got a few guys they can be excited about here.
All right, let's talk about that spring game, because I think you were on the line when I was talking about Rusty Manziel saying, you know, hey, an open practice, Auburn's doing it. They're getting recruits to show up. FSU's done it, get some recruits to show up. It's the same thing with the spring game. I think that, Miami had said, at this point, we're not going to open it. Florida, we're using the swamp as a vaccination site. Florida State, they're going to have people there, which means recruits can show up on their own, correct?
That is correct, and this was an open scrimmage, by the way, this past week that had recruits there, too. So they've got guys, yes, they're using this to their advantage, without question.
Talk about some of the developments there, because I'd mentioned the kid from Georgia that Rusty called Champ Bailey. There's another athlete from the state of Florida, maybe Hollywood, if I'm remembering correctly, that's a five-star as well. I mean, Mike Norvell, this class is shaping up to look a lot different than maybe what they just signed last month, because, again, the influx of all the transfers.
Well, yeah, I think they got to be pretty excited. They move, if you count the influx of the transfers, like you say, Chuck, you would look at this as a top 20 class, top 15 class. But if we're looking at 2022's commitment list, who do you talk about the most? It's without question Travis Hunter, who's a freak. And if they sustain that, if you were able to get this guy to say yes when it counts at the end, they're going to get one of the three or four best players in the country as projected. And when you watch his tape, that guy is a freak. So, yeah, I would think that would be a huge get. And they have some kids. They only have the 1 5-star, but they got 4 different 4-stars. And I think they're doing a good job with what they've been able to do with very little to go on, right? They inherited a nightmare. COVID happened. Go 3-6. And now you're kind of you pushed out a lot of guys from that locker room. You're not quite at ground zero, but you're close. And yet they're getting yeses from a lot of guys that can really play, or at least project to really play. I think that they've done really well given the circumstances of meshing those transfers with some up-and-coming talent, obviously, with high school.
For folks not in Tallahassee listening right now, I don't think people realize how much of a baseball fan the typical Noles fan is, and then also basketball, especially with, I'll say, their recent success, you know, like over the past 20 years. you today, more conversation about the second scrimmage or the basketball loss?
Basketball loss, Sweet 16 loss. They get blown out. That's frustrating. They raised the floor to a point where people actually get disappointed by Florida State basketball with losses. It used to be if you said to any Florida State fan, hey, basketball team's going to go to the Sweet 16 at the start of the season, they would sign up for that instantaneously. But they've been there 3 years in a row. Would have been 4 if they hadn't had the postseason canceled last year. And I think most people are kind of like, all right, let's go. Let's go. We've got to hit a Final Four. So probably yesterday's loss. But it maybe be a 50-50 mix.
So don't tell me that Leonard Hamilton isn't like the basketball version of the baseball coach there. Well, yeah, we're really good, but we don't win titles. Tell me he's not Mike Martin.
No, I don't think so. I think it's fairness to Leonard. I mean, obviously, you're trying to win basketball titles in a blue blood conference with Duke and North Carolina and others who spend a magnificent amount of their resources on winning in basketball. Florida State has done more with less than most of the programs. Finished second this year in the ACC, won it the year before. And now they've gone to the Sweet 16 back-to-back-to-back. So I'd say Leonard is doing an awful lot with a program that has not invested in the way that Louisville, Syracuse, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia have.
I don't think most people outside of even like Tallahassee or even like most ACC fan bases really don't have an understanding of just the unbelievable job. And he's been there way longer than people probably realize. So, Jeff, good stuff as always, brother. Thank you for coming on.
Be good, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Again, Jeff Cameron, ESPN Tallahassee. He's a really, really good coach, and that's a good program, and they got punted yesterday. And so in the moment, that's kind of what everybody concentrates on. And so that's what I'm hoping, because I texted a buddy of mine who I had only ever talked about college football with, Florida State football. He's a graduate. And so I was sitting at a bar in a pizza restaurant. I was at the bar getting some takeout. And so I'm just sit at the bar waiting for them to, bring it out of the oven. And I'm watching the baseball game. And it was a super regional. Florida State was losing. They were going to get eliminated. This is 2, 3, 4 years ago at some point. So I texted my buddy. I was like, are you much of a baseball fan? He said, it's the Florida State baseball is his second favorite athletic endeavor after Florida State football. He's like, it's huge with Florida State fans. And then he went on the rant about how, and we win, and then we don't advance, and we don't win titles, and, whatever else. There is value to never having car crash regular seasons. There's value to, now there's value to winning titles. And I've always said, well, that flag flies forever, man. So if you color outside the lines a little bit, hey, that's between you and the government. Just win, man. That's what you win or you don't. So it's always that interesting little seesaw with a fan base because, again, in that case, two outstanding coaches and programs and everything else. And where's the title? Well, I get it.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
He's Champ Bailey, and I've never said that about anybody, ever. Offensively, he is elite. Defensively, he is elite. Every single weekend, this kid is playing and competing somewhere.
That'd be Rusty Mansell, and he is singing the praises. Some of the fruit that the efforts from Mike Norvell and the staff, some of the fruits that are being born down in Tallahassee. Travis Hunter, who is 6'1", he's about 165, and he's a cornerback and just unbelievable. We had Ingram Smith on from Tomahawk Nation, Knollcast, a couple of weeks back, and he talked about Travis Hunter, and he's like, that's just an unbelievable recruit. This is about as good as we've had down in Tallahassee. I was like, okay, that's different. You know, if we have on your UConn expert, and he says, this is the best we've had for the Huskies in a while, I'm kind of interested in that. You know, the number one high school player coming out of Montana. Oh, okay, well, it's Montana, but you're the number one player. This is a kid coming out of the state of Georgia, and he's going to Florida State. And the guy who covers Cruton in Georgia and the guy who covers Cruton for Florida State, they both go, yeah, he's special. So that's Travis Hunter. Again, I mentioned Sam McCall, a kid from Lakeland who is an athletic equal and, again, playing on defense potentially as well. And he is a much thicker kid as well. He's about 15 pounds heavier, but So that was Rusty Mansell again for 24/7 talking on this here show, the Chuck Oliver Show. You may be seeing more football on ESPN, like the main channel. There's ESPN, of course, there's two. There's ESPN3, which that's the internet. There's ESPNU. There's all kinds of other channels. But here is the truth about TV viewers in the United States. We'll watch pretty much any football. And if it's good, sort of compelling football, we'll watch some more. Now, that's in varying degrees. We started watching the NFL because it was on TV, and then now it's 70 years later. We're like, yeah, we watch the NFL every week. We watched the USFL some. We watched college football a lot. We'll watch the AAF. We watched it at first. And if it's good football, good enough, we'll keep watching. ESPN has been putting HBCU games on, and it started with some ESPN3 and ESPN2. Well, in part because of Jackson State and the profile of that program and Deion Sanders, Jackson State, their game for this Saturday, April 3rd, is being moved. Like I said, some of them gone from internet to two. Well, this has gone from two to the main channel. And they want inventory. And football, that again, that resembles football like we're used to seeing in the NFL or high-level college or what. We'll watch high school football if it's, you know, it's Valdosta versus Matter Day. But, you know, we would watch a matchup, maybe. If it's good football, we'll keep it. Well, so far, we've been watching enough of the HBCU telecast, and so ESPN says we'll keep providing the platform for it. So that is what's going on there. Speaking of football and TV and opportunities, that's going to be part of what I wrap the show up with my closing argument.
The King's Closing Arguments. Presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
If we get an announcement of a certain pro league's permanent shutdown, we'll mostly ignore it. There is a bigger picture for some folks that we have previously cared about. It is a coin flip right now if the CFL ever plays again. There are so many former college stars who we've loved who have been able to either make a living or resurrect a career, Ricky Williams, springboard to the NFL after originally playing in that league. So many of those guys. Recently, it's everybody from Taj Boyd to Terrence Edwards. Terrence Edwards, I think Terrence Edwards played like 10 years in that league. Do you know what Terrence Edwards has from the Canadian Football League? A pension. That changes your life, folks. And the CFL, they've been playing since the 50s. Well, they canceled their entire 2020 season. It was going to be a little more difficult to find a window to play. Plus, they have to have gate receipts. And so this is where, again, CFL, I mean, they've been playing like 60-something years. If you want to gauge on the CFL's future, because they canceled the 20 season, they're like, it's not even worth discussing, because they usually wrap up. They have the Grey Cup is like in August, I think, maybe beginning of August, because that's sort of their spring, summer. That's when it's not snowing every single weekend, so they try to play so it wraps up then. They called off last year's. They have already said that, yeah, 21 season and probably the 22 season, don't expect CFL football. And if a league is canceling a season no longer because of the presence of a virus, they're canceling it because of the economic footing of so many of the franchises. That's where they, if you want a gauge of where the CFL is right now, the league's been in existence since 1958. Their best chance of survival is viewed as a merger with the XFL. That's not made up. So I say it's coin flip if you ever see him play again. That's too bad because, like I said, there's a lot of guys who have earned a living and in some cases changed. You run around, play football for 4 months and get $120,000 or $150,000. That's not so bad for a guy who's just out of college. If you play 10 years and you realize I got a pension and I made good coin and I own a house, now you've changed your family tree. So there's a lot of guys that you and I and everybody listening have cared about in the past, and that option, I believe, is going to go away. But that is just my opinion. That's my closing argument brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shinar & Associates. Anywhere in the Deep South, whether it's Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama, wherever, you need legal expertise. You need Alexander, Shinar & Associates. Dan, what up?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the things from the past are starting to go away because – over the weekend, there was the report that Barry Alvarez is going to soon step down as the athletic director at Wisconsin. And I immediately thought to myself, he's going to be the last of a dying breed, because it used to be if you coached long enough, if you had enough success soon enough, that AD's chair was going to be open for you and you were going to be able to step in and lead that program for however long you want to. Now, Chuck, those titles are going away, much like we see in pro sports now. It's not necessarily the GM that is running the team anymore. It's now the president of, let's just say, baseball, for example, president of baseball ops. Now, they'll name a GM and they'll go to the podium and they'll talk on draft day. They'll do all that. But for the big time stuff, the president of baseball ops is going to be that person. It's the same deal now in college athletics. Is I think more than anything, the mere perception of not having somebody who doesn't have likely MBA or something attached to their name.
Director of business development.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's exactly what it is. It is so much now.
Biz dev.
What you are looking at as somebody who can do the politics of the job, who can do the business side of the job, who can do everything that they have waited their entire lives to be able to get this opportunity with working in athletics to get to this point. Like I said, they're not giving those jobs to coaches anymore.
Yeah, you get a ledger, an accounting ledger, but you also get a Rolodex. And it's a digital one. It's a digital, like virtual in the sky. But that's what it is. It's biz dev, man. It's about donations and money and deals and partnerships and agreements. And Under Armour is going to pay us 14% more than Adidas. That's a bad example with Under Armour right now. But you get the point. It's a completely different role than when Vince Dooley's head coach. And now make him AD so we can throw him an extra 15-5 a year. Wraps it up on a Monday, folks. But I promise I'll be back this time tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.